Welcome to Pegging Paradise podcast number 48 on May 27th, 2013. This is just about the end of a long holiday weekend, and I went to a party tonight of some friends, and they actually showed a movie up against the side of their house. They projected it onto the wall in the cool night air, so we had an under the stars type of movie viewing, and we had an oldie but goodie. It was Jaws. Oh my gosh, it was been a long time since I've seen that movie, and it was actually pretty good. Very dated, but good. I enjoyed it. So, I have some comments from podcast number 47 that I wanted to read to you first. Here's the first one. I do have one comment on podcast number 47, this man starts out with. Being forced or coerced by the female to do bi or gay sex. Maybe that is our subconscious way of putting blame on our desire to the female. In my case, we still don't really acknowledge 100% my bisexual desire. We talk around it. She talks about me sucking my own dick, which is totally impossible. Maybe that is her way of acknowledging her awareness of my bisexual desires. It is so erotic, though, even just talking about it during sex. She describes so clearly about sucking my cock. She says I would be a natural. She says I would want to feel it in my throat. She says since I already love my own cum now, that I would take it in my mouth easily. Yikes, sorry. Anyway, yes, I believe there is a bit of deflecting the blame to the female. Like, I will do this because you want me to, it isn't my idea. Others may simply like being forced to do it, something more of a BDSM culture wrapped around it. Nice observations, thanks for the thoughts. I've wondered that too, the whole, you are making me do this so therefore I don't have to say I really want it thing. On FetLife, there are certainly guys, there's whole groups who talk about forced bi as a fetish. And perhaps that's one way of experiencing it. I know there's also men and women, too, whose whole thing is service to do whatever their partner wants. And sometimes that can include a bi situation. So that can be kind of a forced bi. There's lots of ways to look at this, I guess. I just love that when people are turned on by it, that they own it. And it's really nice how you got carried away there while you were writing about it. I know the feeling. I absolutely know the feeling. Okay, this next comment is from the guy with the piercing whose vanilla wife is now pegging him. He was our pegging celebration time letter last podcast. And I asked a lot of questions in my response to him, and he was kind enough to write back an answer. Here we go. Number one, my piercing is a rather large 0 gram Prince Albert. It is a mutually satisfying piercing, and my wife is really turned on by the bad boy appearance it gives. It is the total opposite of my personality, and she loves to play with it and calls it her toy with attachments. By outward appearances, no one would ever suspect I have such an outer fringe adornment. I am surprised how much she really loves this little piece of steel that is only for her to see. As for the sex aspect, she does like me to leave it in when having vaginal sex, but prefers to have it out for oral. Dental bills aren't worth it. Number two, thanks for the comments on the equipment. The Tantus we bought was because of your recommendation both for beginner's aspect of the toy and harness, as well as the silicone aspect. Until I found your website, I had no idea about the toxicity of sex toy materials, and we had just purchased a rather expensive jelly rabbit prior to making our strap-on purchase. We immediately destroyed all the jelly in our toy chest and now only have the 2 silicone dildos that came with the bend-over boyfriend kit, 2 silicone anal toys we bought from the Tantus site on clearance, we can't pass up a good deal, the Eneros Helix, and our personal favorites, the Vixkin Maverick and my wife's Lilo vibrator. Number 3, I found your website from a Google search of pegging after we had decided to go forward with this new flavor to our menu, and I'm so glad I did. Your information on toy selection, toy materials, and harnesses is a really unbiased and appreciated tool in making wise and sometimes expensive decisions. We also bought a Jacques harness at your recommendation. The one that comes with the bend-over boyfriend kit is not comfortable for my wife, but we do use it when the Jacques is in the wash or hanging up to dry. In your closing comments, you said, "Here is a guy with a partner he never thought would loosen up and have anything other than vanilla sex, and in the end, pun intended, she didn't just rise to the occasion, she strapped on to the occasion. Ruby, she continues to surprise me every day. Initially, she wanted nothing to do with anything anal, quote unquote. She still isn't comfortable with the idea of me penetrating her back there, but she has discovered the pleasure from a good rimming, and I'm sure the rest will follow. Patience and communication, those are the keys. In the meantime, I am more than willing to take it in the ass." P.S. It's funny that you ended by saying, "We must both be walking around smiling all day." We use an app for our phones called Couple that allows us to sext each other without the fear that these messages will be sent by accident to our entire contact list. One of the features is a one-click comment that says, "Thinking of you," and we always add smiling or grinning after that message. Thanks for your information and your time, Ruby. Keep those asses filled and those happy couples walking around with big toothy grins. I am doing my best with that asses filled and happy couples thing, and I have to say it's going rather well. I get letters all the time talking about those two things. Okay, I had to look up the 0 gram. I don't even know if I'm saying this right, but there's a 0 and a G, and so I think it's called a 0 gram Prince Albert, because there's different sizes of them and they're represented by zeros. And yes, it is large. I get the dental bill reference now. I didn't before. That's why I had to look it up. I had to do an image search on Google. Not that I wanted to see some dick. Actually, Mr. Great Kisser has a Prince Albert piercing on his cock, and I have to admit it is pretty damn hot. His is smaller, though. Well, the piercing, not his cock. So a blowjob with it is possible, although I am always aware it's there, and I'm being careful not to get anything caught in it, because it's something that's new for me, so it's unusual, and I'm very sensitive to the fact that I could do something wrong with it. I'm not used to it yet. But as far as, like, fucking with it in, the condom pretty much covers up any sensation I might get from it. And I'm not sure whether that's because it's a smaller one, because it's not as big as yours, but there's no difference there. But I like it. And for those of you who are wondering just what this looks like, I'm posting a pic on my blog so you can check it out. It's a pretty hot pic, so don't miss it. But it's just one I found on the internet, by the way. It's no one I actually know. It's a good pic, though. I'm so glad to hear you detoxified your toy chest. The toys you listed that you have left are really, really excellent ones. I actually plan to start doing some free classes about toxic toys in the general area where I live for all the kinky groups and the BDSM clubs and the toy stores. I just feel that that's how important this information is. I'm also going to post a link to my podcast number 14 about toxic toys on the homepage of my website, as well as the article that I wrote about it. In fact, I've already done that. That's already up before this gets posted, just so that it can be found more easily for newbies who come to my site. Consumer education is so important because, you know, most toy manufacturers do not care about you, so you need to care about yourself, especially about the things you insert in your body. Okay, the words you chose, patience and communication, in terms of possibly getting your partner to receive anal. Yes, I think, you know, if you had to condense down the best approach for telling your wife, girlfriend, lover, whatever you call your female partner, about pegging, it would be those two words. Well said. Definitely patience and communication. So, okay, this new app called Couple. This sounds awesome. You know, I checked it out and I watched the clip about it. They have a little video. And of course they don't talk about sexting. It's all like romantic and schmaltzy. But I see the possibilities, definitely. It seems like it's a great app for couples in a relationship with some romance as opposed to friends with benefits, but I suppose it could be adaptable for either. I think the reason I wanted to look it up and the thing that made me very interested in it is the assurance that it's separate from your usual texting, so that a revealing or sexual text does not go to the wrong place. That, thankfully, has not happened to me yet. But, you know, the internet is full of funny stories about that, and not so funny ones. Okay, one more comment about our last podcast. This is from the man whose wife calls him the ass whore. You know, this is the guy who was going to get fucked on the third floor balcony in Provincetown, and by now surely has, lucky man. Okay, here he goes. I just listened to the podcast 47. I'm blown away that you read my letter to you on your podcast. I think it's great that you liked it enough and thought it was worthy to read on your podcast. Yes, my wife and I have a pretty great relationship and sex life. The pet names are funny. Ass whore, and I call her my little butt slut. I find it very funny you mentioned that. I did not know that Bam was one of those bad toys and you and Jennifer at Smitten Kitten talk about. I will try and find a replacement when the money allows and toss it out. I've only used it a few times anyway. The deuce harness is fun, but I've only used it a couple of times. But now that we're going to play with chastity a little, I'm sure we will get to play with it some more. I think you would have to have the right toy and really be on your game to use it for a DP, if that's what you were asking about. The honeymoon was a good time. On our second anniversary, we spent it at Niagara Falls, and yes, I was pegged. The being able to come hands-free, I can do it with the Hitachi, but not really hands-free. I can pre-come like crazy from a butt plug or strap-on play. I have been very close a few times. I'm hoping with the denial in chastity for a little bit, I will be able to. I will look into the Tango when I can. Thanks again. P.S. My wife left me a note this morning before leaving for work. Quote, only a little over 48 hours and I will be fucking you outside. Hubba hubba. Love you. X's and O's. Me. End quote. I'm such a lucky man. Indeed you are, sir. Indeed you are. Glad to hear you are researching a replacement for the BAM. I guess this is another night of like multiple toxic toy mentions. And again, if anyone out there who is a size king knows about a good non-toxic replacement for the BAM, please let us know. There's got to be one out there. I'm not sure where it is, where to look. I don't know. Oh, and about the chastity thing and the coming hands free, let us know how experimenting with that works with the chastity and how it affects your ability to come hands free, and if maybe that's what kicks you over that edge. I recall, this is what it brought to mind, I recall coming across a few amateur video clips made by a couple, and this is where the woman had him in a chastity device, and she and her girlfriend would fuck this guy. And she would taunt him about how long it had been since he'd had an orgasm or fucked her. And there was obvious humiliation play going on. And the first clip, that's all it was. And it seemed like maybe the first time that she and her girlfriend specifically had fucked him. But the second clip, I could tell he had an orgasm while he was being fucked. It was actually pretty obvious, not because I could see ejaculation or anything, but because, he made noises, and then all of a sudden he became really sensitive and they stopped the video. But the third, because there were three of them, she actually said something about it. She referenced it and basically said something about how he was lucky that he'd figured out how to come while getting his ass fucked, because that was the only way he was going to come. You know, thus the humiliation play and stuff. But I wish I'd bookmarked the videos, but alas, I did not. They certainly had the appeal of pegging and hands-free orgasms for me. Plus, the wife and the girlfriend were wearing the strap-ons over their jeans and clothes, so he was naked, and there was the clothed female, nude male aspect, which I find very hot. They were fascinating videos. If anybody runs across them, send me the links. And the deuce harness that you mentioned, you know, I was kind of wanting to hear about using the deuce for DP, which is dual penetration. So if any of you couples out there have the spare parts deuce harness and have DP stories, I want to hear how well it works. And like this reader says, if you really have to be on your game, you know, I can't imagine having a bio cock, if you will, and then having a fake one and using them both at the same time. But I can't imagine it's simple. I mean, I can barely work one. Well, that's not true. I can work one actually really well. But having two, goodness sakes. I keep thinking, though, if you could just get it just right, I bet it would be amazing. And this is a subject that clearly needs more research on my part, right? Okay, this one came from my blog. I put a blog post encouraging people to send in bisexual stuff. And so I have another bi sharing from a reader that found that blog post. And the blog post asks these questions. What do you do with your bi urges? What space have you found for them in your life? And how do you feel about the choice you've made? And here is the comment that I got. Fantastic website you have here. It is such a comprehensive discussion of an interesting subject. To answer your question, if I were to label myself, I would say straight, although with bi-curious leanings. I consider myself to be someone open-minded when it comes to new experiences, including those in the bedroom. While I have never had an experience with a member of the same sex, I have wondered what the sexual experience would be like and how it might feel. I don't feel romantically attracted to men, but sometimes entertain fantasies and indulge in same-sex and bisexual imagery. I find, however, that the feeling comes and goes, and many times I have no desire to entertain it. Other times, I cannot forget the fantasy. I don't feel guilty about it, as I see it as experimentation and pure fantasy. My attraction has always been to women, and my desire for a relationship has always involved a female partner. I love the idea of pegging. I, for one, enjoy anal play and can't think of any reason why I should feel guilty about enjoying something that inherently exists regardless of sexual orientation. Sharing it with a beautiful woman is a turn-on. To share such an intimate activity, considered taboo by many, as well as placing myself in a more vulnerable position. I see it as a shared act, and not exclusively an act of domination and submission, although I see the role that it can play. As of yet, I've not had the chance to experience it, but if I do, I'll hardly be thinking of another man as she penetrates me. Instead, I'll be thinking of sharing an incredibly intimate activity with someone whom I can trust and share a different side of myself with. Hopefully, this helps answer part of your question. Thanks for writing in, sir. Thank you very much. So often, it seems like I'm finding that if people are actually able to admit to their fantasies, and of course that's easier to do with anonymity, that all kinds of stuff is in there that a person might not ever consider doing in real life. And getting past the weird feelings about those fantasies and enjoying them for what they are is just a marvelous place to arrive at. I'm actually still working on that a bit, honestly. So here we have a guy who has bi-curious fantasies that come and go, and he may never act on them. He just enjoys the fantasies. So what I'm curious about is that if your partner knows about these fantasies and how she thinks or how she feels about them. And, you know, rereading your comment, I'm not sure you currently have a partner, but I'd be curious if you have talked about those to her. But for our listeners, see, these are the kinds of things that I'm talking about when I suggest that sharing your fantasies with your partner can bring you a deeper level of, like, connectedness and intimacy. Of course, it's always something to consider how your partner might react to the fantasy, too, because I find that too many people don't seem to be able to draw that line as well as maybe the reader does here. They think that any fantasy expressed must be realized, and that is just not so. And sometimes because it can't be realized because of the boundaries that were agreed upon in the relationship don't allow for that. Sometimes it's not going to be realized because it would just freak out one partner too much. But other times, it's more because it was never really a strong enough desire to be acted upon. It just sort of added to the spice of the story spinning around in your head, like the bicurious fantasy. And, you know, last but far from least, there are the fantasies that are more dark, I guess you could say, if you had to put a word to it. And those never get realized because even though it can be erotic to think about, oh, let's say, raping someone or getting raped, it's not a reality that anyone really wants unless they're a psychopath. Another example of this is like fantasizing about causing someone pain while pegging them. I do this sometimes, but in reality, I never want to cause a man pain from pegging. I mean, I can do that just fine with a riding crop, thank you very much. But you get the point. Fantasies of this type, this last category, are still nothing to be ashamed of, but so many people are. And they're often not shared with one's partner either. So my advice for today is to take those dark fantasies, because we all have them, and just put them all in a box labeled pure fantasy, to use the words of this reader. Let go of the shame and the guilt and enjoy them when you use them to get off. And if you can, think about sharing them with your partner. Okay, this next thing I'm going to read you is a comment to the article that I wrote called Convincing Her to Try It. And I not only posted this article on my blog, it's a pretty popular one, obviously, but I also posted it on FetLife. And the author of this comment graciously gave me permission to read it here. And I have to tell you, when I asked for that permission, he wrote back and said, "That would be fine if it helps one person find what they really need. Isn't that what this is all about?" Nice. Very nice, sir. And here is the comment. "When I asked my wife to use a dildo in me when she was blowing me, she agreed to it. She was very vanilla, but also very into pleasing me as well. She just loved my reaction to it and how hard it made me orgasm for her. She looked more satisfied than I did afterwards. You never really know which way it's going to go until you try it. Within a few months, it had progressed to her using toys in me every time we had sex. A year later, anal was the only sex she offered me, and she became a total dom. It has been over 13 years now that I have received only anal sex twice a day, and nothing else. You just have to ask and see what happens. It turned out she was probably dominant inside and didn't know it, so we both explored a little and found what worked best for us in our relationship. She considers it normal now as well. Anything done between a man and a woman is natural and heterosexual. It doesn't matter who is sticking what into whom in our eyes. But neither of us are homophobes either. We know some gay men and women. That's great for them. They're no different than we are. And really, if you think about it, we have a lot in common. The man here loves to be pounded good and hard anally. The woman here loves to have a cock in her hand and fuck a nice, wanting hole. We are straight. She just likes to be the batter, and I am the catcher. She is not attracted to women because she likes to be the one doing the fucking, and I am not attracted to men because I like it up the butt. We just like intense sex, and this is surely a great way to experience it. Just ask. I believe you have nothing to lose, really. If a person is not happy sexually in a relationship, are they truly happy or just settling? Please think about it. If you think just settling is a good idea, go for it. I know for me, that would never have been enough. For her either. We have discussed it before. Now we are an older married couple who still hold hands and hug and kiss like teens because we are closer than ever. It is all about trust and honesty. Without those, you really have nothing anyway. We know a couple in their 80s. They are always holding hands and kissing and touching still. Who knows? Maybe she pegs him. We have always said we want to be just like them when we are that age. That all starts with being able to talk to each other about wants and needs and respecting each other. This is a great way to find out how good your relationship really is. People need what they need. You cannot fight it. I could not imagine living life with a secret as big as this and a basic need going unmet and still having a strong relationship. For yourself and that of your loved one and your relationship, please just ask her. So that's very, very persuasive. It's very persuasive and so well written. Thank you for that comment. And thanks for allowing me to read it here on the podcast. Hearing about relationships like yours, this is so awesome for me because it helps me understand more about how they work. And I know that sounds funny, but I mean, I don't have one yet. And we've all seen and probably envied those couples that it sounds like you guys are, that just seem to be so very close that they just kind of sizzle. And you know, when they kiss with passion, not those little dry, perfunctory pecks. So much of this is about revealing and trusting and allowing your partner to really know your deeper layers. And I've said it before, is it a risk? Oh God, yes, it's a risk. But like this guy says, what's the alternative, right? He makes a good point. Because I, like him, I cannot imagine living a life without revealing my kinks. I thought you readers and listeners, you might enjoy hearing from someone who has made the choice to expose and explore those underlayers with his partner. And they're very happy with how things turned out, you know, because perhaps this may encourage you to do the same. I've made that choice to be open about my kinks and pursue what I want as well. I just lack a partner. But, you know, it's different with me because it's not as if I'm revealing to a longtime partner that I have these kinks I've never told him about. And I understand that if that is the case, where it's a partnership of many years and you're trying to make the decision to reveal either a longtime kink or one that just came up, the risk is still higher because there's a lot more riding on it. You know, for me, I can just look for someone who is into the kinks I know I have, which, you know, I make it sound so simple, but believe me, it's not. Or at least it hasn't been so far. I have not found it to be easy at all. I am pretty picky. But when you own your kinks, you know, you significantly narrow the field of possible partners. This is still, for me, much, much more preferable to the alternative to live without expressing my kinks and enjoying that passion in my life. You know, trying to do something like that would be totally impossible at this point. You know, getting rid of my kinks and just pushing them aside. I mean, I'd have to get rid of so many toys. I'd have to, like, extricate myself from my website, and I'd have to purge vast sections of my computer, to burn my journals. And these are all the things I'm really passionate about. All the things that make my life fucking juicy. In fact, the whole swing of the pendulum effect in terms of living for so many years without expressing my kinks, and now I am, the swing of the pendulum now finds me moving out into the public and slowly giving up my anonymity bit by bit and absolutely enjoying a measure of notoriety about this whole pegging thing. And it's fun, but, you know, this works against me sometimes when dating, believe me. I mean, I'm just a person, guys, really. I really am just a person. But the whole coming out thing is happening, and it's exciting. It is. Eventually, you guys are going to see a picture of me. If you come to one of my classes and one of the places I speak at, you'll see one even sooner. Well, you won't see a picture. You'll see me. And I always say, if you come to a place where I'm speaking or a class, you absolutely can ask for a hug. More than willing to give those out. Love to meet listeners, readers, anybody who is interested in all this cool stuff I'm talking about. For the man who wrote in with this comment, this part about being an, quote, older married couple, end quote, yeah. I, like, checked your age on FetLife. Dude, you're younger than me, so I am totally not going for that description about older married couple. I reject that on the face of it. Thank you for allowing me to share this, my FetLife friend. Okay, now we have a question from a reader. Should pegging be a power game for a couple? I guess you could see it as liberation for a couple who are both switches between dominance and submissiveness. Ooh, I always flinch when I hear the word should. Really, I do. I mean, pegging can be a lovely power game for couples, sure. Because if a couple switches, and they switch like from the typical roles of who is usually dominant, which is the man, and who is usually submissive, which is the woman, pegging absolutely can help to facilitate that and encourage that switching. I like the word liberation. That's a great word. Because I really do see the role reversal, that whole trading places inherent in pegging, as amazingly liberating for so many reasons. You know, not the least of which is just to discover what's kind of down your own rabbit hole. Oh, that is such a bad, crude euphemism for anal and pegging that it just makes me smile. Because, you know, those double entendres just happen sometimes, and with pegging and anal and asses and the whole deal, sometimes it just gets kind of nasty and funny. Okay, so enough of that. Alrighty, so before I sign off here, I want to let you know why last week just floated on by with no podcast. My move has happened, and you've heard about that, and there are still unloaded boxes and things, but it wasn't about that. What it was about is I actually lost a very dear canine companion that I had for 14 years. And it was a really tough decision, but it was just her time. I'm not one to let a dog suffer, and she was going downhill pretty fast. So I gave her an awesome last 24 hours, which she was just still in just good enough shape to enjoy, including like taking her to the beach and stuff. And I let her sleep on the bed that night with me, which she hadn't been able to do in really a long time. And then the next day I took her in and had her put to sleep. And it felt like losing a friend you've had for 14 years, because that's exactly what I lost. So it was really tough. I got her when she was 2 years old, and she'd already had two abusive owners, so she was very, very timid and scared of men. That actually took her a few years to get over, but she did completely. She totally got over that, and we had so much fun. We went on so many hikes, we went to the beach, played ball, and she was a cuddling dog. She actually was quite a comfort during the period of my life when things were horrible between my husband and I slept on the couch when my marriage was ending. She is a cuddler dog who spoons, and she'd get up on that couch with me, and there was just enough room in the wintertime, and it was just such a comfort. So, yeah, this sweet dog and I, we had 14 really good years. So the podcast just didn't happen because my voice wouldn't have held up. I still had tears that really needed to come out. And it's nice to be back. I missed you guys, and thank you for being here. So, you can follow me on Twitter at @Ruby_Ryder. You can like me on Facebook. You can subscribe to my blog. My podcast is available on iTunes and also available on my blog at peggingparadise.com. I have a special request. If you guys could please go to iTunes and rate my podcast and write me a review, it would be completely and totally awesome. And I would be very thankful. You can send your questions and your stories to ruby@peggingparadise.com, or you can just click the Write Ruby links at the bottom and upper right of every page on my blog. I really appreciate you downloading and listening. Happy pegging.